Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Franklin, Michigan, and at age 31, her husband was killed in a scuba diving accident, leaving her a widow with two small children to raise. She then earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Michigan and a master's in clinical psychology at the Center for Humanistic Studies in Detroit. She has just written, directed, and produced Transforming Loss, a documentary. Her name, Judith Berg, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Kasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Kasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Judith Burdick, who has just written, directed, and produced Transforming Loss, a documentary. Judith, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I had a pretty privileged childhood, I would say. My mom and dad were just your average 60s mom and pop. Having kids, I was the oldest. I sort of went through life in a predictable fashion. Everything unfolded very nicely for me. I went to school. I went to college, you know, as expected. I met and married my college sweetheart, Mark Rubens, who was actually a little bit ahead of me. He was graduating from medical school when I was in undergraduate school at the University of Michigan, and just sort of followed this path of what was expected at the time. I left Ann Arbor, and I went on a sojourn with my then-husband, Mark Rubens, through his medical training. We started out in Gainesville, Florida, at the University of Florida at Shands Teaching Hospital. From there, we went to the University Eastern Virginia Medical School to continue his training, and then we went to Baylor, and so that took us to Houston, Texas. We had two children in the interim, and then we ended up in San Diego, California, where we settled.
Tell us about your life, Judith, in early 1991.
It was a really great life. We had settled in San Diego, and we were, you know, young parents. We had everything to look forward to. We had just bought our first home. Our kids were, you know, happy and going to nursery school, and everything was just wonderful. We had just settled there for 2 years in 1991. We were really living the dream after all those years of putting off, you know, what we had looked forward to.
Tell us about your late husband, Dr. Mark Rubens.
He was an orthopedic surgeon specializing in spinal surgery, and he was very accomplished at the age of 35 in 1991, and he was just a terrific guy. He was warm and had a great bedside manner, in addition to being very highly skilled at what he was specializing in.
Take us back to Sunday, May 19th, 1991.
That was a day when Mark went on a scuba diving expedition with a very close friend who lived down the street from us. It was just a normal Sunday. It was the kind of day where I was taking my kids to birthday parties, and he was going to do this. He loved scuba diving, so it was a really exciting day for him because that, too, had been put off by his rigorous training. So he was really excited about it, and I was really happy for him. He went scuba diving, and that was the last time I saw him. He was killed in the process of diving, and I got the phone call at about 2:30 in the afternoon on that day that he was in a hyperbaric chamber at UCSD, where he was also an attending physician. And I had the worst feeling. I just knew it wasn't going to be good. But I wasn't told that he was dead because he was on life support at that time. But I really felt, you know, terrible about that.
How did you tell your son Andrew, who was 6, and your daughter Laura, who was 4?
Well, initially, I had to come up with a reason why I had to leave suddenly and go to the hospital. Since I didn't really know what was going on, I knew it wasn't good, but I couldn't give them any kind of information that that I didn't know. So I just said, "Daddy, you know, Daddy got hurt in an accident, and I have to go see how he's doing. So don't worry, everything's okay." And that's how I dealt with it in that moment.
You had to be strong for your son and daughter, for your parents, your family, Mark's family, his friends, his coworkers. How did you stay so strong?
That's a really good question. I went inside, and I just knew I had to pull on some kind of a strength that felt beyond human. And I really can't tell you, Jack, where that came from. I mean, now in retrospect, I have a sense of it, but at the time, it just kicked in. Sort of a survival strength, like a primal strength that came in the face of that.
Judith Burdick, how did you get through the rest of 1991? You're a widow with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old in San Diego. Your family's back here.
I had to do it for my children. In my head, I would say over and over and over again, this does not make sense. I don't get it. The grief was enormous. The emotion was beyond anything that I had ever experienced. However, I knew I had to function for those children. And that truly, looking back and even at the time, was what got me through that year. And I was numb for a lot of it as well.
We're talking to Judith Burdick, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Judith Burdick, who at age 31 lost her husband in a scuba diving accident, leaving her a widow with 2 small children to raise in San Diego. Judith, you come back to this area, you go back to school, you become a psychologist, and you start a practice. Tell us about your practice.
My practice has been one of the ways that I could make meaning out of that horrible experience. I always had a sense that I wanted to be a psychotherapist. However, I had this driving need to help people who were suffering through loss, grief and loss. And so I specialized in grief and loss. And that decision to become a psychotherapist, going back to school and specializing in grief and loss, has been one of the catalysts for my own transformation, just like the film's title.
Talk to us, if you will, about getting through the various stages of grief and loss.
There are several stages to grief and loss. The first stage was probably the most difficult, because you're trying to deal with something that is so beyond the ordinary and tragic, and there are no blueprints. And 21 years ago, there were a handful of books. There was no internet. There was no Google. There was nothing, and particularly nothing for younger widows and widowers. So the support structure at the time was limited. Also, living in a culture that doesn't really like to address death, particularly then. I've made it my business since that time to change that. However, getting back to the first stage, you're just trying to pick up the pieces and survive. And oftentimes when it's a tragedy, there's a period of dissociation, which is a numbness, and it takes a good 4 to 6 months to come out of that. And that was my experience for sure because of the sudden nature of my husband's death. Since it's also a nonlinear process, you're sort of looping around in all of the various stages. So the first stage is trying to just come to a realization of what just happened, waking up from the tragedy, waking up to the new reality. And then the second stage is more of a stage where the task is working on acceptance of what is. And you're going back and forth between and overlapping again with the reality and then moving into acceptance. The third stage is the acceptance and embracing the reality. So in my opinion, a three-stage process. There are a lot of experts out there who have broken it down in different ways. But for me, it moves in a sort of a three-stage process.
Judith, what's the biggest thing you've learned these last 21 years?
One of the biggest things I've learned is that loss doesn't have to mean the end of life in a meaningful way. Loss can be a catalyst for growth. It can be a catalyst for experiencing life in a much more meaningful way. So that would be it for me.
You've just written, directed, and produced Transforming Loss, a documentary, 55 minutes. The first two showings were on February 6th and 7th. The next couple are on March 12th and then April 10th. If you want to learn more, www.transforminglossdocumentary.com. Tell us, if you will, what was it like that opening night, February 6th, and you get in front of those people?
It all came full circle for me. Before I actually went onto the small stage in the podium to address everybody there, I thought to myself, wow, had I known 21 years ago that I was going to be standing here today welcoming people to this film and sending a message of hope, I wouldn't have believed it. And I was absolutely thrilled beyond words, and so happy that I could take my experience, do the work myself, help others to do it, and then present this film to a broader audience. It joy, sheer joy is all I can tell you.
Judith, when you put your head on the pillow that night, what did you say to God and what did you say to Mark?
Thank you. I hope I'm doing the work. I hope I'm doing what you want. And I know I am. And that feeling of satisfaction when I laid my head down that night was like none I had ever experienced ever in my entire life. And I just felt this incredible sense of peace and gratitude for the ability to do the work and to have this opportunity to help so many other people to do the work.
Judith, the next two showings are March 12th, April 10th. Where are they at? How do we learn more?
The March 12th screening is going to be at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts at the Jewish Community Center in West Bloomfield. And the April 10th screening is going to be at the Main Art Theater in Royal Oak. And those two screenings will be posted, as they are actually right now, on the Transforming Loss Documentary website with all of the information for registration right there. So people who are interested in seeing this film can go right to the website and click on, you know, the appropriate icons for that.
Judith Burdick, what's the basic message of the documentary?
The documentary says to people that you can experience horrible loss, and many of us do. Not everybody experiences tragic loss, but everybody will experience loss at some time in their lives, but that it doesn't have to destroy you. In fact, it can be the catalyst for your growth and transformation, and how one does that most effectively is through helping others. So it's a great message of hope, and it shows the way.
One of the people you profile is Gary Weinstein.
Yes.
Who in May of 2005 lost his wife, Judith, his sons Alex and Sam, to a drunken driver whose name is Tom Wellinger. And Gary Weinstein regularly goes to visit Tom Wellinger and forgives him each time.
Yes, he does.
No way.
It's really an amazing story, and it's also Gary's life's work now. He goes around and he speaks to people about the issue of forgiveness, not only forgiving others, but forgiving oneself for things that we do blame ourselves for in life. He is a tremendous role model. I know a lot of people don't understand it. However, his story is so compelling, and it really forces one to step back and think about what's really important in life, and holding on to resentments only comes back to bite us, and really to be the most effective human being we can be, we have to look at the forgiveness issue, and he's out there teaching about that, and he lives it.
There's a great couple in Rochester, Mike and Gina Spain, that were guests maybe 6-8 months ago. They're the authors of The Color of Rain, How Two Families Found Faith, Hope, and Love in the Midst of Tragedy. They both lost their spouses with children, and they came together. And Mike believes, he says, I'm not willing to pay the price of unforgiveness. The cost is so high, and you have only so much currency in your life.
Yes.
What do you say to somebody that's filled with bitterness?
I would say you don't want to stay there too long. Bitterness doesn't serve anybody, particularly the person who is experiencing it. There's a lot in life that feels unfair. There's no question. There's a period of time to rail at God, to rail at life. However, to stay there indefinitely is like a toxic poison to the being. And I would say, work it through. Whatever you have to do, don't stay there too long.
We're talking to Judith Burdick, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prasula, and we're with Judith Burdick, who has just written, directed, and produced Transforming Loss, a documentary. If you want to learn more, www.transforminglossdocumentary.com. When we had breakfast a few weeks ago, you made a statement, quote, "Our lives are Earth school."
That's very interesting. I feel that we're here to learn everything we can. This is not utopia. Otherwise, we wouldn't be experiencing the sorts of things we experience here. To me, I see life as an earth school, where we're here in school to learn, to grow our souls, to evolve. And every experience that comes our way, and mostly the difficult ones, the challenging ones, are there to, in my opinion, help us learn to grow and to become a better person. Otherwise, what would we be here for? That's the way I think about it.
Another thing you believe is that we need to embrace death rather than run from it.
Absolutely. Death is a part of life. Everybody will experience the death of a loved one sooner or later. The fact that I experienced it sooner, I feel at this point, and even shortly thereafter the experience of my husband's tragic death, that I was sort of lucky in a sense, because it prepared me for what life would bring down the road. And I feel very, very prepared. I've lost my father in recent times. A year and a half ago, he passed away, and I felt strangely prepared for it. But it's actually a good thing, and I know that I can help other people. I'm more compassionate. I think I'm a better person because of everything I've been through, and it does serve to, you know, serves me and it serves others.
Anyone that listens to you, Judith, says, this person is at peace, and this person has surrendered to God. How did you learn to do that?
Well, I have to admit that I've always felt very strongly connected to God or to Source, however you want to conceptualize it. For me, I'm going to say God. But my faith has grown. My faith has strengthened through my life. I'm 52 years old now, and when my husband was killed, I was 31. Through these years, I have become much more connected to a spiritual self. But I have to admit, I've always been strong in that way, you know, felt a strong faith.
If there's a listener tonight that says, Judith, something awful has happened in my life, and I'm mad at God, and I'm depressed. How do I learn to accept God's will?
That's a good question. It's a process, I would say. I would say also to give yourself permission to feel the way you feel. God can handle it. Go through what you have to go through. Be angry. I was very angry for a while, and it would come and it would go, and it would come and it would go, but I processed it. You need to do that. You need to talk to somebody, whether it's a spiritual advisor or it's a therapist, which I highly recommend, being a therapist myself, somebody specializing in grief. Go somewhere where you can process the anger, because that is absolutely a natural, normal part of the grief process, particularly when you experience something out of the realm of what's natural.
How can I heal and find peace? And how long will it take?
People want to know that, and I totally understand that, because I felt that way too. I felt like I couldn't get to the other side of it fast enough. And in reality, it's not a fast process. It's something that takes time and a lot of work. And the work I'm talking about is the processing of all the emotional ups and downs, mostly downs, of course, and making sense of the experience. And so I would say, don't look too quickly to get out to the other side, because it just takes however long it takes. If you're committed to the work, you'll get there faster than someone who either runs from it or doesn't do the work.
Let's talk about the silent epidemic called suicide.
Mm.
Whether it's a husband, father, that's got awful financial problems and ends his life, whether it's children, young adults, whether it's the soldiers coming back. Nobody talks about it, but it's out there in droves.
It certainly is. Particularly, you're seeing it a lot now with the soldiers, as you just mentioned, who are coming back and suiciding. It's something that I'm hoping through this film, because there are a couple stories in this film that address that very issue. A father who finds himself in terrible financial straits and then chooses to leave that way. And then a young boy who struggles, a 17-year-old young man, who struggles with bipolar disorder and feels despondent and suicides. We have to talk about it. We have to look at it. And that's why I'm committed to taking the taboo around death and the discussion around death and suicide and all of its tentacles away, so that we can begin to embrace the reality around us and the despondency that goes along with suicide.
Talk to us about the surviving loved ones and the fact that oftentimes they're very embarrassed.
Well, you're referring to the stigma in our society that still exists, unfortunately. That's the beauty of this film. I'm busting through all of that. My hope is that we can bring awareness through this film and in other ways to our culture, to our society, so that we can stop stigmatizing something that's happening all around us and look for solutions and bring awareness.
How best to help a child get over the loss of a parent?
Well, I will say that children do not completely grieve or really start the adult grief process until they then become young adults. They have the opportunity to do it then. Children live very much in the moment, young children, and they don't stay very long with the sad feelings, which is probably a good thing. It's a survival mechanism that is involuntary. However, when a young child makes it to young adulthood, that's when, whether it's leaving for college or some other life event, could be the trigger for them to start really addressing it on a level that they can, because they have the ability to then reflect and do the work.
We're talking to Judith Burdick. If you want to learn more, www.transformingloss.documentary.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Judith Burdick, who was a widow at 31. With a son 6 and a daughter 4. Judith, they say one of the hardest things for a couple to survive is the loss of a child. Talk, if there's a couple tonight listening, trying to survive the loss of a child, what would you say to them?
I would say to get some help. I would say if you're struggling with one another, which is often the case, because people want to look to blame something or someone, and everybody also has a different way of grieving, a different style, and sometimes one spouse does it very differently. It doesn't mean that the one who is perhaps less articulate or vocal about their feelings isn't feeling it. But if you are struggling, don't wait too long to get some assistance from a really good therapist who specializes perhaps in grief, because it can put a tremendous strain on the marriage. People are just looking to survive and to keep their heads above water. Everybody does it differently. To try your very best to be tolerant of one another in that process, but to get some help, to maybe go to a support group for parents who are dealing with the loss of a child, so that you see that you're not alone. I'm really all for group therapy, particularly a support group as it relates to the loss of anyone. But, you know, the loss of a child is just a horrible tragedy, and it's difficult.
What do you say to a friend whose best friend has just lost his or her spouse?
Well, I would say, I've been there. I know what this person is going through. Do your very, very best to be there for that person. Don't try to fix it, but do your very best to simply be there in any way that they may need you to be there. Look for resources. Help them in any way that you can, without trying to fix it. What people really need the most is to be heard and to be held while they're going through the terrible throes of loss.
There's a listener that says, Judith, it's been a while. I loved my spouse. I'd feel guilty or disloyal if I were to ever date again.
I would challenge that by saying, if you loved your spouse, which you do, that will never change. You take that love with you just as you would. I liken it to, I tell people this all the time. If you have one child and you love that child, and then you decide to have another child, do you stop loving the first child just because you have a second child? No. You make room in your heart for another love, and that's what you do when you embrace love again, and you're actually honoring the love that you had for your first spouse by opening up to the possibility of loving again.
Mike and Gina Spain, they talked about that you can grow hearts.
Yes, you do. I mean, you the love never ever goes away. You never stop loving that first love, but the heart does grow to expand to incorporate more love, just as having a child and then having another child and another child.
When one door closes, God has another door waiting.
I agree with that. It's not easy to hear that in the beginning because why? Everybody wants to know why. However, when some time goes by and you've healed the initial loss, it doesn't mean that you stop hurting, but you can see that opportunities present themselves, and that's what I think that saying means, that there are other opportunities that can come out of the loss experience that can really be life-enhancing.
When one door closes, God's got another door waiting. I believe this, but how do I find the next door?
That's a good question. You have to trust, you have to rely on your faith that there is a reason or a cluster of reasons why this horrible thing has happened. And it's that faith and that trust in something bigger than us is what really provides the opening for that next opportunity or series of opportunities that come, whether it's in the form of a new love or an opportunity to expand yourself and grow in ways that you perhaps wouldn't have had you not gone through the loss. So there are many ways it can come in different forms.
If there's a listener tonight that says, I'm jealous of you, and in all honesty, I hate you, because you have something that I would die for, and I can't get it.
I would challenge that, and I would say, first, I would say I understand, you know, how angry you are, and I wouldn't personalize it. However, I would say, you can do this too. if you're prepared to do the work and allow yourself to go through the necessary stages and really feel the pain, really feel it, and then allow yourself to open through a faith in something bigger than you, you can do it too.
There's a priest in Plymouth, Father John Ricardo, whose dad was the former Chrysler chairman, a spectacular priest. And a prayer that Father John says regularly is, I can't, you can, please do.
You're handing it over. It's surrender is what you're talking about. And it's surrendering to a higher power and allowing that higher power to come to you in whatever way it's going to look, because everybody's going to have theirs look different. And mine may not look like yours. However, being open and keeping yourself clear and receptive is the way that you, and that is through surrender, that you would be open to something really miraculous happening.
Gandhi once said, wise is the man who gives up that which he cannot keep to keep that which he cannot lose. As our time winds down this evening, what would you say, what advice would you give to a listener who has just recently lost a spouse?
I would say, don't be afraid to feel it and connect with it, and allow this loss to mold you and to grow you. Because if you allow, and that's the operative word, you can become so much more than who you were before this loss. And that's the message that I would like to put out there, that this loss can be a catalyst for your personal growth and for service to others in the world. And that's what it's all about. Helping others, and in the helping of others, we're actually helping ourselves.
Well, thanks a million for all the people you've helped these past 21 years, all the people you will help because of this new documentary. And Mark's in heaven singing your praises every hour of the day.
Thank you so much.
Honored to have you.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.